From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Eugene is known for a lot of things. Think U of O, Kesey Square, the Slug Queen, and hippie culture. But there's another thing that experts warn is a Eugene trend in dire need of arresting: fatal traffic accidents. Since COVID, the number of these accidents has grown exponentially. And even though 2025 saw a dip in accidents, traffic planners and cops are still very concerned about where we are. Today on the show, you'll hear from an expert traffic planner and a police captain about causes and potential cures for this pattern. And while there are engineering and enforcement solutions to the problem, the biggest challenge, as always, is trying to change human behavior. The city has an audacious goal of reducing fatal crashes to zero, and we talk about it next on Oregon on the Record. First, the news. Logan Tellis, transportation planner with the City of Eugene, and Captain Ryan Maloney with Eugene PD. Really appreciate both of you coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Logan, I'm going to start with you because I know you're heavily involved in a program, an initiative called Vision Zero. Can you remind listeners what Vision Zero is and what you do?
Sure. For anyone who doesn't know, Vision Zero is an approach to transportation safety that centers on reducing fatal and serious injury traffic crashes. So there's a lot of guiding principles associated with Vision Zero, but at its core, it involves cities recognizing that traffic deaths are not inevitable occurrences, and that we can affect positive change through things like roadway design, enforcement, and public education.
Okay. Why don't you talk? I'm going to stay with you for a couple questions. Let's talk about why the City of Eugene wanted to participate with Vision Zero, and maybe talk a little bit about, you know, where we have been with regard to serious and fatal traffic accidents in the city.
So in the City of Eugene, we've struggled with traffic deaths increasing following the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, like many communities. 2022 through 2024 were some of the worst years on record when it comes to fatal traffic crashes in our area. In 2022, we had 14 fatal traffic crashes. We had 14 fatal crashes again in 2023. And then in 2024, that number grew to 22 fatal traffic crashes within our urban growth boundary area. Now, in 2025, we experienced our first decrease in traffic deaths since 2020. And we had 10 fatal traffic crashes in 2025. But nonetheless, 10 community members losing their lives is still far too many. And there's a lot of work to do in pursuit of reaching that goal of zero traffic deaths.
Okay. Captain Maloney, from the police's perspective, you know, what are some of the biggest causes of the fatal traffic accidents that you see and respond to in the city of Eugene?
Well, it's hard to say one specific thing. It's a full gamut of things that we've seen, from distracted driving to speed related to overall just not obeying traffic laws in general, as far as stop signs, stop lights, with increased speed issues and high density populations of foot traffic and bicycles. Those areas seem to be one of the higher risk areas in the community.
From data you've looked at, are we somewhat unique compared to perhaps other cities in Oregon with regard to the high number of traffic fatalities?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
So across the state of Oregon and across the country, many communities saw this pattern of a post-COVID increase in traffic deaths. And many communities are now starting to see a reduction down towards pre-pandemic levels. So the patterns we've seen in Eugene are mirrored in communities across the country. That being said, as I mentioned before, there's still a lot of work to do, and we're still fully committed to pursuing zero traffic deaths despite the decrease we've seen recently.
Okay. Going to get back to you, Captain Maloney, in terms of like what the police see, is it you know, if there are ways to kind of put it in buckets, like distracted drivers, high rate of speed, drugs and alcohol, I mean, is it all kind of spread fairly evenly in terms of why we're seeing a pretty big we have seen a big increase in traffic fatalities?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's pretty even across the board with our DUIs and drug-related traffic crashes on top of it. There's really no one specific area that you can say if we just resolve this one problem, it would resolve us all the way down to zero fatalities, which is what we're obviously striving for.
Okay.
So we have to take a broader brush to it and try and educate and enforce and work through different programs within the city in order to work collaboratively to try and reduce this number.
Okay. Logan, you mentioned that it went down, and while it's still too many, that's an improvement. And I'll ask you first, and then I'll also ask Captain Maloney, what do you think are some reasons why the number of fatal crashes went down in 2025?
You know, it's too soon to say definitively, and we're also not guaranteed to see that downward trend continue through the end of 2026. I will say, looking at the data, one thing that's notable is we did have fewer fatal crashes involving drugs and alcohol in 2025 in comparison to years prior. So that is something that was notable to me. And I'll kick it over to Captain Maloney to give EPD's perspective.
Yeah, Captain, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. Obviously, the numbers that we have are very similar and the same, working together to try and find solutions to this. Like you said, there's no way to guarantee those decreases are going to continue. But I do know that over the last 2 years and then pushing into this year, with our staffing levels coming back up to more of a manageable level and being able to be out and being visible and physically educating the community by making traffic stops and personal stops and bike stops, we're able to have more of an impact, and just with visibility alone, let alone actual stops, to help decrease that and make people more aware and bring them back to kind of those pre-COVID days where people were more aware of what the traffic regulations were and the distracted driving regulations and everything that goes along with really just being courteous on the road and being aware that there's more than just you out there, and it's an entire community out there driving and commuting at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Logan Tellis, transportation planner with the City of Eugene, and talking to Captain Ryan Maloney with the Eugene Police Department, talking about traffic fatalities in the City of Eugene. Captain, I'm going to stay with you. I mean, can enforcement or education, can the tactics and the strategies that you put in place, can it change driver behavior en masse? I mean, you know, is there some data about the fact that, if there are more cops on the street driving around, that does help change some outcomes?
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't believe that I wasn't capable, I would be in probably a different career field, honestly. So
sure.
Utilizing the numbers and the metrics that we have now, because we've got so many different data points, especially working collaboratively with the engineering department through the city, we're able to focus in not only with citizen complaints and what people have seen, but focus in on actual areas that are more of a concern. And so just our ability to educate and be in that area with presence and then stopping people and talking to people, I think does drastically make a difference. So when we have the staffing and the power to do so consistently, and we can have targeted enforcement and education areas, I think it does help reduce quite drastically and educate the public on what's the proper way to be driving and a respectful way to be driving on the road and riding a bicycle and responsibility of a pedestrian as well in the same roadways.
Yeah. Logan, obviously, you know, I think anybody who's driven a new car lately knows that it's basically a computer on wheels, and it has an amazingly large and very, very enticing video screen with all sorts of bells and whistles. And I want to ask that question in sort of this idea of, you know, distracted drivers, and certainly with that, as well as with the almost instinctual need now to check our phones and whatnot. Just talk about the whole issue of distracted driving and, throughout perhaps the statistics you've looked at, you know, is that one of the things where we really need to educate and hone in for people when they're in their cars?
Absolutely. Distracted driving is an issue in our community that's contributing to traffic crashes. And distraction can look a number of ways. I think a lot of people think of cell phone distraction, and that's certainly an issue. But also, you know, the distraction that comes with, emotional challenges that individuals might be having at the time of a traffic crash. Perhaps someone is upset. Perhaps someone is having an argument with someone else in a car, for example. It can look a number of ways. And so I would encourage people to really focus when they're driving, you know, put down the phones. If you're having, some type of issue where you want to pull over and wait, shoot that text off, make a phone call, resolve a conversation, and then get back on the road. That's something that can certainly help with those types of issues.
Okay. Captain Maloney, are there particular areas in the city of Eugene that the Eugene police has seen those are the really dangerous areas where we see a lot of fatal crashes, you know, or is it pretty much everywhere and anywhere?
No, while it does move all across the city, there are definitely more specific areas where higher traffic and straight roadways with multiple lanes. For example, River Road, high density population, a lot of foot traffic, bikes, as well as, you know, four lanes plus a median, and pretty straight. So even though we regulate the speed in that area to be safe, that's not always followed, right? Especially if in straight stretches and people that feel that their time is more valuable than others and they want to get to their location quicker. We see it on Highway 99 quite a bit as well with high foot traffic and pedestrian traffic as well. And then Patterson and Hilliard all the way up through East and West Amazon. It's just those are high traffic areas where long straight stretches can contribute to speed issues, as well as a lot of crosswalks and a lot of foot traffic can contribute to not a good correlation when they both meet up.
Yeah. Logan, to that point, as a transportation planner, are there engineering solutions that can help reduce the number of fatal traffic accidents, specifically around perhaps better ways to separate pedestrians from cars?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of upcoming roadway safety projects and planning studies underway for some of the high crash corridors that have been particularly problematic for us in recent years. So just starting with Highway 99, I'll go ahead and mention that we have a large scale street lighting improvement project coming up that's scheduled for this year, where we're going to be adding new street lighting where street lighting doesn't exist on Highway 99 and upgrading the existing street lighting to brighter LEDs. So we're going to be brightening up Highway 99 to help with pedestrian visibility and give drivers more reaction time. In addition to that, we're going to be doing sidewalk infill on Highway 99 the following year from Barger to Prairie.
Captain, I want to ask you one last question for you, which is, you know, obviously, when we're talking about fatal car crashes, you know, the common denominator would be the car. And so it might be easy to say that a driver is always at fault. But I want to ask you about, you know, the responsibilities and perhaps needs for improvement amongst pedestrians and cyclists as well, because obviously, you know, I could imagine that there's some bad behavior that you see as a police officer or your team sees from pedestrians and bicyclists behaving badly, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, we do see both. The issue is obviously the car is the easier person to blame, basically, because they're larger, right? They're
sure.
Driving at a high rate of speed and they're driving on the road. But there is a lot of education toward bicyclists sharing the road and being aware of their surroundings as well, and understanding that you can't necessarily go in certain places without taking a risk by doing so. Pedestrians, we run into the same thing, almost the same with distracted pedestrians as you do drivers. When people are crossing the roadways and even in marked pedestrian crosswalks, looking at their phone, not paying attention to what cars are coming. It's a risk when you're going to be crossing a road, no matter how you look at it, especially in multi-lane roads where you've got blind spots where one car will stop, the other car won't see a pedestrian and don't know if the other car's turning, and they'll continue to proceed through. And people, if you're looking at your phone or not paying attention to those possibilities, it runs a really big risk for you as a pedestrian as well.
Logan, the last question I have for you is, are you somewhat cautiously optimistic that given what happened in 2025 and some of the changes and updates and improvements you talked about, are you optimistic that we can continue this trend?
I would say the decrease is encouraging, but we remain committed to doing everything we can to push towards zero.
All right. He is Logan Tellis, transportation planner with the City of Eugene, and Captain Ryan Maloney with EPD. Gentlemen, thanks so much for taking time out to talk with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. When we come back, we'll check in with our own reporter about public safety challenges in rural Lane County. And we're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. Let's check in with our reporter about safety challenges in rural Lane County. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us.
Always great to be here.
You have a feature coming up about really some law enforcement and public safety challenges in the more remote areas of Lane County. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I went out recently, or a couple weeks ago, to visit people living in unincorporated Lane County, so residents of the county who don't live within a city boundaries. Mm-hmm. And where I went was outside of Florence, and they're very concerned about the lack of public safety resources. So there are only a handful of deputies that patrol unincorporated Lane County, but there's actually quite a few. There's over 100,000 people that live in unincorporated county that are patrolled by this very small department. And our whole public safety system is under quite a lot of strain from years of lack of resources as tax dollars have kind of plateaued and in some cases shrunk. So these community members are quite concerned. They feel like they have no protection and that if they call, someone will answer the phone, but it's very likely no one will come out to see them because they are literally an hour and a half to 2 hours away from Eugene, where a lot of deputies are based.
Yeah. You even have a clip from someone kind of describing in almost desperate terms what they face each and every day. Let's listen to that.
We don't feel like we have any protection. We don't feel like we're being served by the county sheriff's department. And I realize that a lot of it's about funding, and it's not their fault. I think the deputies probably do a wonderful job. There's just not enough of them.
So, yeah, I mean, you hear there, they really feel like they're almost on their own.
Absolutely. That person, he had his garage broken into while he was actually asleep inside of his home. And was quite scared. Thankfully, the door connecting his garage to his home was locked, so they didn't actually come inside his house. But, you know, you have kind of elderly people quite afraid that, you know, the next burglary, they'll be home and they'll encounter someone. And if they call 911, maybe someone in the city of Florence is available for a mutual aid agreement, but Florence doesn't really have jurisdiction over the unincorporated area, and a sheriff's deputy could be an hour and a half away or longer if they're, you know, clear on the other side of the county responding to another case. So that person had his electric bike stolen, thousands of dollars of tools, some stuff that's going to be pretty hard to replace.
Yeah, and as many people know, Lane County is basically the size of the state of Connecticut. So you talked to some officials in law enforcement agencies, Lane County Sheriffs, that sort of a thing. What did they tell you?
Yeah, I mean, they, I think, really shared those frustrations and said, you know, we actually understand exactly what they're talking about and really wish that we could do better, but you know, if you know what Measure 5 and 50 is, our property taxes in Oregon have all been frozen. And there's this complicated equation that basically has really limited the property tax growth in our state. And I've heard from a lot of public officials that growth does not pay for itself in Oregon. And so as we get these subdivisions and communities coming up and people living in these places, the resources to keep them safe have not grown alongside them. And so that means we don't have enough resources for deputies. There's not enough deputies to do any real traffic enforcement, to do a lot of investigation. They only have one property crimes detective. We don't have enough DAs. We don't have enough parole or probation officers. So every system within our public safety system just does not really have the resources to meet all the kinds of needs that help make a community feel like they're really safe.
Yeah. My last question for you is there is a glimmer of, is it hope or a possibility of improving the situation? Talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, Lane County used to be really reliant on timber revenue. And there are a few counties across Oregon that have been. And so with that going away, with property taxes frozen, they've been looking at potentially, there's a task force that came together to come up with some solutions. One of them is a payroll tax that is under discussion amongst county leaders and being researched right now. The other is a special district dedicated to public safety, so forming this new district that collects taxes just for this. And so those are both being researched by Lane County, and eventually, maybe later this year, you know, some of those ideas are going to come forward for public discussion to see what voters have an appetite for and maybe how much they'd be willing to pay to feel safer. So there, those details are still up in the air, but there's definitely conversations happening across the county to try to say, we all know this is broken. What are you willing, both as our leaders and as community members who pay taxes, willing to do to fix it?
Yeah. Fascinating. Listen for that later this week, and also on KLCC.org. Rebecca Hanson-White, always appreciate talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at KLCC.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear about St. Charles Medical Center's new cancer treatment facility opening up in Redmond, and from a reporter with the Idaho Statesman about how Boise is creatively navigating around the state's ban on pride flags. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.